This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thanks for joining us this morning for our daily COVID-19 case update briefing. Dr. Joshua Clayton is here with me, State Epidemiologist, along with Secretary of Health Kim Malsom-Reisden. Dr. Clayton will give an overview of today's case updates, and then they both will be available to take your questions. I'll turn it over to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning, everyone. As of this morning, we are reporting 97 new cases. This does include 2 new hospitalizations, no new deaths, 40 newly recovered individuals, as well as 587 new negative tests have been performed. In total, this brings our COVID-19 case count to 3,614. We have 1,393 of those being active infections, and 2,187 are persons who have recovered from the disease. We have 263 hospitalizations in total, as well as 34 deaths, and 20,964 negative tests that have been performed. For our updates for our community impact map, Dual and Lawrence counties are transitioning to no community spread. For the new cases by county, we have 7 in Brown, 3 in Lincoln, 1 in Meade, 84 in Minnehaha, 1 in Pennington, and 1 in Todd. For cases by age range, we have 24 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 17 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 24 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 19 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 8 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 4 in the 60 to 69 year age category, and 1 in the 80 and older category. For cases by sex, we have 64 that are male and 33 that are female.
All right, thank you, Dr. Clayton. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines, and then we'll take your questions.
Good morning, JP from KORN News Radio.
Morning, JP. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Dr. Clayton, are you able to differentiate how many positive tests have come out of the mass testing last week in Sioux Falls up till today?
So we're still looking evaluating what that total number is. As we mentioned, we had 3,628 total specimens have been collected as part of that mass testing event. And we have not yet gotten an update on the total positives that came out of that. So that's something that we hope to have soon.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next question.
Yeah, this is Ray from Kelland.
Go ahead, Ray.
Hi. Yes. We've been told 3,000 to 5,000 tests a day, and we get questions about that. Is how come we're not doing more testing? How come we're not doing more testing? This isn't a sign that the state isn't ignoring testing when we see these results. And I feel like you've talked about this before, but can you talk about it again? Why we don't see 3,000 to 5,000 tests done a day?
Well, so it really comes down to, we're building to hit that capacity of 3,000 to 5,000 tests per day, which is, where we feel like we need to be in order to meet demand kind of at that peak need. For the, number of people that are being tested, that really is a byproduct of individuals who are, developing symptoms as well as those that are calling into their clinician and, talking about their symptoms and whether that clinician is identifying whether that person meets or does not meet the criterion to get tested. And then whether that person then goes to the specimen collection site and gets tested. And then, of course, several days later when we get those results is when that information is actually reflected in our existing case count as well as our negative tests that have been performed. I think the important thing to recognize is that, you know, at this point we have enough testing capability to meet the demands out there in throughout the state. And so, you know, we continue to evaluate, you know, what additional we need to have available for capacity to meet that need, and that individuals should continue to work with their clinician if they have symptoms that may be consistent with COVID-19 in order for them to get tested.
Next question.
Angela Kenneke from Kello TV.
Go ahead, Angela.
With the increase, with the increase of numbers in Brown County, I think it was 7 new, had the highest increase and has seen since last week some of the highest increase in cases, and they have reopened many of their businesses. How many of those newer cases are related to the packing plant there?
So in total, 76 cases have been associated with Demcota Beef at this point.
And are you concerned about community spread with businesses reopening?
Well, I think, you know, anytime we're talking about increasing the number of contacts that individuals have, I mean, that always does offers a potential risk for, increasing spread of disease among people who are, experiencing no symptoms, as well as those who are experiencing mild symptoms before they have a full recognition of their illness and are tested. I think the important thing to note is that we have focus on making sure that, people are aware of what symptoms are, that they have information from the community impact map to make this personal decisions on, what actions they're going to take, and that, that if they do happen to become ill, that they have the capacity to be tested.
Next question.
This is Jody Hinster, Dakota Radio Group.
I heard Jody first, so we'll go with Jody.
I'm looking, yesterday's information showed 9 cases in Stanley County, and today now it's showing 8. I'm just wondering if that was just a misstep of the numbers there, or if somebody got transferred to a different county?
That one specifically is a transfer to a different county. And again, the numbers that are out there are provisional. I know it's a lot easier
right.
to identify that when we have some smaller numbers in different counties, the update is that was a case that was actually residing in another county after we completed the investigation.
And then I looked back, Dewey County showed up with 1 case April 30th, and it listed for the first few days in May, and now that Dewey County is back to 0. Is that another case of getting the correct residency for the person?
Yep, that's correct.
I think I heard Adam St. Paul.
Yeah, I was just curious. We're looking at a June peak from everything that the modeling tells us here in South Dakota. Do we have any kind of indication what that peak is going to look like? Is it going to be increased numbers across the board, across the state, increased hospitalizations, I guess? Do we have any kind of idea what it will be like when it is to, quote, peak?
So I think that with that, what we're looking at when we do our models is that the overall assumption is that all parts of the state kind of experience the same impact of COVID-19 at the same time. You are correct that the overall model for the state is showing kind of that second to third week in June. What we do know we've worked with our partners, in Sioux Falls, is that, they are anticipating that the peak will actually occur for Minnehaha and Lincoln counties earlier than it occurs for the remainder of the state, and that, again, that's focused on peak hospital bed capacity rather than, individual peak cases of COVID-19 illness.
Next question.
This is Morgan from the Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Can you talk about why there was kind of a noticeable spike in Pennington County cases in the last few days and whether that's related to any one outbreak in the area?
No, the increases in Pennington County have not been associated with any specific event or business. It's just reflective of some increased testing and increased cases within the community for through the investigations that we've been able to complete to date.
Okay, and can you also talk about how you decide whether or not to notify the public about any outbreaks at a business?
Oh, sure. When it comes to public notice, we do work with the individual who has that recent notice of illness. We're identifying, where they've worked and any larger exposure events that they may have may be a risk to the public. And those specifically are, when an individual was around other people, that they cannot identify the exact names for us to follow up with. A lot of that happens on, in businesses where individuals are public-facing, that they have a lot of contact with customers, and that those individuals, wouldn't necessarily be able to identify who they had all interacted with. So those are oftentimes the businesses that where we have the follow-up for those. The other focus would be that, when we're doing those investigations, businesses behind the scenes, they are also, we're able to notify all of those worker close contacts as part of that, and that's why it mainly comes to a public notice. The third piece that is important to keep in mind is that a lot of it relates to the personal protective equipment that individuals are wearing as well. Individuals that are considered part of the critical infrastructure, who may have been exposed who may just in general be wearing a mask, if they developed symptoms, that does augment a little bit who we consider as close contact. And that's information that is, available through CDC's guidance as it relates to healthcare workers, because what the focus of using masks is really on source control from the individual as a potential risk to other people. So public notices are reserved for those times when we know the individual had contact, at least 5 minutes within 6 feet, and that those individuals are not easily identified through our normal investigation processes.
Next question.
Yeah, Ray from Killeen. I'm going to go back to the testing again, if I could. You mentioned enough tests, that we recognize that we have enough tests to meet the demand in the state. It feels like the demand is still coming. Could you... When would be the demand? What would that look like? Is it going to coincide pre-peak in June? Is there a difference between having 3,000 tests available today and when would this demand show itself?
So, Ray, this is Kim Olsen-Reisden. Certainly, as we think about COVID peaking in our state, that would logically drive us to think that that's when we're going to need the most tests available. And so those numbers, related to the peak are for testing, they're for hospitalizations, and it's, general activity around COVID. It's a bit hard to predict from day to day kind of what that demand is going to be. So we are actively working to identify supply chain with our partners to ensure that, moving towards that peak, that they're going to have the supplies that they need to meet the demand, and so far that has been the case.
Okay. So when you say 3,000 to 5,000, as of today, if you needed 3,000 to 5,000 a day for the next 10 days, for example, if this were the peak, you'd have it.
Yeah.
You're saying that capacity. Okay. So if you suddenly need 10,000 tests as we approach the peak, June 1st or something like that, you would have 10,000 tests available if you needed to suddenly shift gears and test a lot more than 3,000 to 5,000.
Yeah, I mean, we're actively working, again, with our laboratory partners to help them identify the supplies that they need to manage the demand and recognizing that it could be, you know, larger than the 3,000 to 5,000 per day.
Right. So what you don't use today, you can use next week. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next question.
Josh, Dakota News Now.
Go ahead.
Do the current hospitalization numbers listed on the state's website include only South Dakotans, or does it include people from outside the state who are being treated at South Dakota hospitals?
That does include only South Dakotans that are being treated in South Dakota hospitals.
Do you have any idea how many people from outside the state are currently being treated in South Dakota hospitals?
I mean, I think that's part of our other sort of bed census information that we have, but it's not something that we typically report out. The main focus is that whether it's Avera Sanford Monument or other health partners, that part of their surge planning includes, you know, who they reasonably would need to take care of, and that does include some of the surrounding jurisdictions as well. And so they are planning to meet the need, meet that need. For all individuals that would be in their kind of like service area or catchment area for the hospitals.
So you're saying that kind of peak projection surge expectation, that's incorporating projections for people that might from Minnesota or Iowa, whoever that might also need to be treated in South Dakota.
So for the state model for peak hospital bed need, it does not include those individuals specifically. But when the smaller health system, or sorry, when the health systems are looking at their own data, because they're able to drill it down in on that smaller area than statewide, they are including their patient catchment population.
Thank you.
Final question.
Yep.
Good morning. This is Joseph from the Capital Journal.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Thanks, y'all. Good morning. I was wondering, Dr. Clayton, if you could give the update numbers on the Smithfield cluster, both the employees and close contacts, please. Thank you.
So we have 803 Smithfield Smithfield cases that have recovered out of 853 cases, and we have 236 close contact cases that have recovered out of the 245 that we had identified.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this morning, and we'll visit with you tomorrow.